We are back at the Fire Gizzard Sportsman's Club, and we're going to be talking American Treeing Fife Association today.
That's right. This is ATFA, and man, this is a great organization. They do nothing but try to help out with the newcomers, and they're all about competing with dogs, and you know, it's all about the dog with this organization. These guys do it right.
Generally, the ATFA is more of a family-oriented thing. Everybody there is just tight-knit.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we meet up, it's like a family reunion. We're going to have fun. We're going to get out there, and we're going to hunt and compete against each other because our blood pressure goes up just a little bit if our dog ain't doing exactly what we want it to. But by the time everybody signs that card at the end of the hunt, we shake hands, and it's over. And we're best buddies again.
Well, it's definitely a competition. I mean, we all want to win, you know, but we're trying to all raise and train, hunt the best quality dogs they can, you know.
A lot of these guys, they've got their own kennels, and they really want their dog to stand out against all the other kennels. You know, it gives you a good name, and lets everybody know you're doing your job right. And I tell you, the guys with Crossfire, they got some outstanding dogs, and when you get drawn with them, your heart misses a beat just a little bit. The day I got drawn out with Marty Brown, I started getting a little nervous because I knew it's going to be tough, you know.
Yeah, because he's raising and breeding some of the finest dogs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Crossfire's really making a name for themselves.
Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. We're glad you're tuning in. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason Harmon. I'm going to be your host, and today I have a special guest co-host, Mr. Nick Gibson, with us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good. I'm glad you're here with us, and we are back at the Fire Gizzard Sportsman's Club, and we're going to be talking American Treeing Fife Association today. We got a few special guests with us, Marty and Lauren, to cover all of this, but I'm excited.
That's right. This is ATFA, and man, this is a great organization. They do nothing but try to help out with the newcomers, and they're all about competing with dogs, and you know, it's all about the dog with this organization. These guys do it right.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to learn more about that today. It's going to be fun. But before we get started, I want to shout out to one of our radio stations, WBMC in McMinnville, Tennessee. They carry Wildcast at 12:30 on Saturdays, and that's 9:60 a.m. And we appreciate all our radio partners out there running Wildcast, and especially the McMinnville station, WBMC. So let's get started. Let's meet the guys here, Marty and Lauren. Marty Brown here in the middle in the red hat. We got to make sure we talk about the hats, too. So, and then Lauren Slatton in the other hat, gray hat. So appreciate you guys being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Marty, start us off. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Marty Brown. I'm Whitwell, Tennessee. And I like squirrel hunt these dogs and everything, and I don't know.
So you are you a do you do this full time, or do you have a day job?
Oh, I got a day job. I work Chattanooga.
Okay, cool.
And do this on the side. I wished I'd done it full time.
I bet most sportsmen, most people who are outdoors, wish it was an all-time thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Marty, you're a machinist over there, right?
Yeah. Well, I work in a dye shop.
Okay.
That's what I do for Southern Champion Tray.
Yeah.
And I got a good drink of water.
There you go. Well, that's cool. And how long you been hunting and fishing? Your whole life, I guess.
Whole life. Yeah, I grew up in it. My dad had me chasing squirrel dogs when I was a little big feller, and coon dogs and whatnot, but I just loved to hunt and fish, and got into raising these dogs, and loved to compete them and run around with them.
You got a bundle of brothers and sisters too, don't you?
I got two brothers and a sister.
And that's right. Yeah. And you got another brother that hunts squirrel dogs, or just hunts in general?
Now they don't hunt too much. They do a little, but not much.
You were the outdoors.
Yeah, I guess I was.
The outdoors kid.
Yeah, me and my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He's got a boy that's about as big as he is, and he's getting close to growing up bigger than Marty, and he's a big outdoorsman too.
Awesome.
Yeah, one of the nicest kids you ever met too.
He loves turkey hunting, chase these dogs. He's been traveling with me this year. I actually hunted his first cast in ATFA 3 weeks ago at LBL.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll dive more into this stuff here in a few minutes. Let's move over to Lauren. Lauren, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Lauren Slatton. I live here in Trace City, Tennessee. I work in Pelham at a Toyo seat.
Okay, cool.
I'm a maintenance man down there. Program and teach on robots and hunt squirrel dogs when I ain't working.
How long you been working down there, Lauren?
22 years.
Long time.
Right here in Pelham. You grew up in this area? And
yeah, here in Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lauren's got a daughter that's big in squirrel hunting, too. She actually competed this weekend by herself, too.
Yeah, she done really well. She got fourth place morning and evening hunt.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, she takes care of her dogs, too, but she likes to pamper them things. She was telling us about how she painted their toenails and everything.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Does that make them tree better?
I don't know.
Oh, I guess they become members of the family, and they probably sleep in the house and right there with her, huh?
Yeah, every now and then. If we'd let her, they would.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, I'm excited to learn about the ATFA today. It's something I'm not really familiar with, until I met Nick and got familiar with his squirrel hunt that he does out here in this area, and started hearing that acronym being thrown around, and I'm like, so we got to learn more about this. So I appreciate you guys being with us today to talk about this, and let's just jump in and get a little bit of background. So how did the ATFA get started, and what was it? Why was it started? What was it for?
Well, in 1985, a bunch of men got together from several different states, and I think that was in Cleveland, Tennessee, and their goal was to promote better dogs, who could, breed and promote the best, fast dogs.
Okay.
So they did that, and generally the ATFA is more of a family-oriented thing. I mean, it's everybody there is just tight-knit
mm-hmm.
and everything, and it's a great organization to be part of, and we hunt 6 different states, do 1 state a month.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in Tennessee, we hunt on Prentice Cooper, and we travel monthly to these hunts.
Well, that's pretty cool that the first meeting or kind of getting this established was right here in Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And then you said one of the earlier hunts was here in Pelham, in this area?
Yes. I think it may have been in the first year, but I know but the second or third year they was hunting in Pelham was one of their first hunts they had, in Tennessee.
Yeah, and that area pretty well, because that's where we had our youth hunt. And I mean, naturally, we got to go back there because there's squirrels.
Yeah, yeah, we had squirrels all over the place that day, and I know all the groups that went out. There were 6 or 8, 10 groups, whatever it was that went out. They all had squirrels. We're all on squirrels, so. What better place to run a dog?
Yeah, we even got into a few fox squirrels. I think Marty, you got a fox squirrel on your cast.
Yeah, we got one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said cast. What's a cast?
Okay. I'll let y'all explain that cast.
Well, a cast is when we do the hunts, it'll be like 3 dogs or 2 dogs go out, just according to the number of the dogs there. If it's an odd number, it might be 2 dog cast or 1 2 dog cast, or if it's, an odd number there, 3,
Okay. So that's just like a group or whatever.
Just a group of
them. Yeah, like a flight or a group or this cast. Okay, yeah. Cool. Y'all use terms I'm not familiar with. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we use them so often we forget they are uncommon to everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's see here. You mentioned it was in 6 states, but you've got members from all across the country, right? You said Pennsylvania to Texas?
Yes. I don't know how many, but I know we've got members in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, and all through the South.
Down in Florida?
Florida, yeah.
It's, okay.
Yeah. They got to avoid the gators down in Florida and Louisiana just to trail a little.
Carolina.
Yeah.
South Carolina as well?
Yep.
That's cool. So, and then the you run the dogs in those six states, the six southern states, I guess, Tennessee being one of those, I guess.
Yeah, Tennessee is one of those. As a matter of fact, Tennessee is the second hunt usually that we do, right?
Yes, we've been starting out in Missouri, and north of Missouri, then we go to Whitwell, Tennessee,
that's right.
Then Searcy, Arkansas.
No.
Montrose, Mississippi.
Gray, Georgia.
And Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky.
Okay.
We have two different hunts up at the Land Between the Lakes. You'll have the Kentucky Regional, and then you'll have the, like a rally hunt. What is that? Is that the Bob Wallace?
Bob Wallace, yeah.
Yeah, it's a memorial hunt.
Memorial hunt.
Okay. Cool. So not only do you do the hunts and organize those competitions, you know, is that what it's all about? Is that what the association was set up for? Or was, you mentioned it was just to promote the dogs and promote that breed, but is it all about the competitions, or is it more than that?
Well, it's definitely a competition. I mean, we all want to win, you know, but, you know, it's promoting the dogs, but we're, I don't even know how to say it, but we're trying to all... The goal is to raise and train, hunt the best dogs, quality dogs they can, you know.
So educating those folks and I guess growing your group in that breed and in training and just growing the sport, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so I see what you're trying to say there. And
he says promote the dog, you know. He's really talking by promoting that dog. You're wanting your breeding to really stand out amongst the rest of them. You know, a lot of these guys, they've got their own kennels, and they really want their dog to stand out amongst all the other kennels. You know, it gives you a good name, and lets everybody know you're doing your job right. And I tell you, guys with Crossfire, among with many other kennels, man, they got some outstanding dogs. And when you get drawed with them, your heart misses a beat just a little bit. And by draw with them, I mean, you know, you get put in the same cast.
In their cast.
And I tell you, the day I got drawed out with Marty Brown, I started getting a little nervous because I knew it's going to be tough, you know.
Yeah, because he's raising, I mean, and breeding some of the finest dogs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Crossfire's really making a name for themselves.
That's cool. How do you find that information? How would you find more information on your kennel?
Well, we got a website. You can go to xfirekennels.com.
Okay.
And we also got a Facebook page. So
cool.
Everybody needs to log on there and check it out.
Yeah, log on. Perfect. Okay. Cool.
Every one of the guys that are involved in that kennel too. You know, that all their numbers are on their page, and every one of them love to talk squirrel dogs. You know, and that's one thing I really enjoy. You know, I enjoy the fact that you can reach out to these guys if you got a question. Don't even matter if you're hunting their dog.
Yeah.
If you got a question, or you got some kind of something that's going on different with your dog, people in the ATFA, they're willing to really help you out and give you some tips and advice, you know, on how to fix that situation.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Make your dog better.
Right. Like you said earlier, family. Everybody's in it together.
It is family. It's like Marty told me when I first got together, you know, started this. He said, Nick, whenever you get in this, he said, whenever we meet up, it's like a family reunion. And he was right. You know, it's like a party every time we get together. Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to get out there, and we're going to hunt and compete against each other because our blood pressure goes up just a little bit if our dog ain't doing exactly what we want it to. But by the time everybody signs that card at the end of the hunt, we shake hands and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, and we're best buddies again.
That's cool.
We was best buddies during the hunt, but we was a little less best buddies then.
Oh,
just like in Kentucky, what, 40 of us went and eat after we hunted all evening.
Yep, we did, sure enough.
There's like 40 of us go to one place and eat.
Yeah. We had reserved two or three tables there.
Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. I like that. So let's get into the... Well, first, let me back up. So, if you want to be a part of this group, are there membership dues, or, you know, how does all that work? How do you become a part of the ATFA if you wanted to be a part of that?
Go ahead.
You can log on to the website there, the American Tree and Fie Association, and you can get your membership and all that on there.
Okay, awesome. And so what's that get you? Does that get you access to the hunts, or, you know, is there a magazine?
You get a yearbook like that? Every year. The year, like, you advertise your dogs And the dog of the year is be on the front of the yearbook every year.
Oh, okay.
And every one of the hunts that we have in the previous year will be in that yearbook. And, you know, you'll get to see how they placed in each one of the hunts and the top dogs in there. And like they said, you know, in the backs of the book, there'll be, you know, pictures of the events that we had. And
okay,
like,
cool.
Everybody will get to advertise their kennels. But that's the access that you have as a member. You can go to any of these hunts. You don't have to have a dog just to go. You don't even have to really be a member if you want to come.
No, you don't have to be a member.
You can come check it out, you know, but to get the access to all of the amenities like the yearbook and stuff like that, and to have access to put your own ad in, you got to be a member. But there are size requirements for dogs.
Yes. These, like on our, to have a dog in, the dog, a male dog's got to be 18 inches or shorter and under 30 pounds. A female's got to be 17 inches or shorter and under 30 pounds. And it has to go to the woods and show somebody as a member that it will tree to get signed off on to be registered as an ATFA dog.
Interesting. So how do you go about that? I mean, is there like a sign-up day where you go through that?
Well, you know, those? You can bring it to any of the hunts.
Okay.
Say that we're having a hunt in Tennessee. You can bring it up there. You ain't got a hunt, but you can bring your dog up there. Get it weighed, measured, and everything, get it ready. Then, you know, then you can come hunt after you get it registered.
I drove to Crossroads because I was so nervous about it and about getting my dog registered. I drove down there and met Marty and Mark Gallagher so that they could, you know, look at my dog and make sure he was what I said he was.
Yeah, that's cool. So there are those requirements. And then I guess let's dive into how the hunt goes down, and you're not actually killing squirrels, you're just treeing them, right? So let's walk through a competition. So if there's anybody out there that's think they want to do this, what's a day look like in a competition?
Well, it's a field trial, right?
It's Marianne? A field trial. Yeah, it's listed as field trial, but it's a 2-hour hunt. And what we'll do, we'll all meet. There'll be a random draw. You'll draw a cast and you'll draw a spot. You know, when you draw your cast, and there'll be you and two other dogs, you know, primarily it's a 3-dog cast, and you'll go to that spot to hunt. You got 2 hours, you're on the clock, and it's who can mainly tree more squirrels in 2 hours.
Okay.
But you got to call your dog. Then when you tree your dog in, you got to see the squirrel for it to count plus points. You know, if it's a den or where the squirrel's got away, you get circle points. And you hunt you 2 hours, then you come back, then they add everybody's points up, you know, and whoever's got the most plus points will win the hunt.
For that morning, I guess. Yeah, y'all do two hunts a day? Or how does that work? Well, you mentioned morning and evening earlier.
Yeah, primarily, like, there's a difference between a regional hunt and then there's a difference between a rally hunt. So the rally hunt will be a morning and an evening hunt combined together. You'll take the accumulated points between the morning and the evening, and you'll combine that at the end. Whereas a regional hunt will be, you'll have a morning hunt, and that'll count as its own hunt, and then you'll have an evening hunt, and that'll count as its own hunt, and then you'll get those champion points off of that.
Okay. All right. And it sounds like this is a gentleman's, almost like a gentleman's sport. I mean, because y'all are counting on each other to say, well, yeah, my dog was the first one, or that was, you know, I saw a squirrel. One of you may say, no, it was just a den, or, you know, how do y'all work that out?
Yeah, so two people actually have to see that squirrel before it can count as a plus point. But there's been times, you know, when you get in there and you got two or three dogs that sound a lot alike, you ain't got a clue who treed first. As a matter of fact, it happened to me and Marty and John Carpenter. We got in there and we really didn't know whose dog treed first. So what you do, if you find the squirrel, you'll split those points amongst all the dogs. That way everybody gets an equal shot, and it is a gentleman's game.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So how many points do you get per tree?
Well, the first dog is treed in, we'll get 125.
Okay.
Then any additional dog, if another dog trees, he'll get 50 for second tree. Then the third dog trees in, he'll get 25. Then that's how, if, you know, you got a lot of scenarios that you would like to get into, but, you know, you can have split trees.
Mm-hmm.
To where the dog's treating two different places, but you got a 30-foot halo, you know, a 30-step halo, where if a dog treed and another dog comes in and trees beside him, you know, if he's within those 30 steps, you call him split. You can call him split tree, but you got to find two squirrels. If you don't, only the first dog tree to get the points.
Okay. Now you're a pretty tall guy, so whose steps are we counting? Who's
well, it's going on whose dog's tree.
Who's walking off those 30 steps?
Yeah.
If you're hunting with Marty, though, you get a handicap because he's up our eye level with him, so he's going to find most of the squirrels anyway.
Oh, that's great. But yeah, there's so many things that it sounds like that can go into these runs and or I guess these draws and the different casts. So let's see. I was trying to look at my notes here to what other questions I had here. The more squirrels you tree, the better. And it sounds like the first one there is going to get 125. And if it has to split, I can see how those different tiers and points can. It can be a tight race. Listen, towards the end.
It can be a tight race, and it can be a race that you just wish you weren't even there anymore. It can be so fast-paced that everybody's sweating and can't even breathe because you're going from tree to tree to tree. Or it can be so slow that you just sitting there and, you know, whittling time away just praying for a tree.
Yeah.
And like I said, at that rally hunt up in Kentucky, my little dog had 50 points in the morning hunt, and that was 2/3 trees, and that's 225 points. And man, I couldn't wait to get out of the woods because I was miserable.
Yeah, when you say 50 points, like, well, that's pretty good, but that's low.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, according to. So when you do these 2-hour hunts, and I'm thinking, you know, do y'all pick the what's the best time of the day? What's the part of the day that you're running these draws? Are you looking at early AMs, you know, or is it a certain better? Is there a better time to tree a squirrel?
Well, we have a deadline set. So when you draw out of a morning, say the draw at 6:00,
okay,
the deadline's 12:00, and you can look at the weather or whatever. If you feel like, you know, if these a better chance you might tree it later, you can play the game and wait to 8:00 to turn loose, start your 2 hours, or you can start right at daylight.
Okay.
Or we do sometimes, we'll start hunting, and you know, if we ain't treeing nothing, you can call time out and give it a while, but you got to be back by 12:00. And you got to be back by the deadline. A lot of times we drive 30 minutes to an hour to where we're going to hunt. And not all the time, but I mean, you can, and you got to figure all that in. You got to walk back to the truck, get in the truck, and drive back to the clubhouse. And be back for the deadline.
It's chess, man. It's a strategy game.
It sounds like it.
Because there's been times where, you know, we sit, we think, oh, you know what, we'll go at the last 2 hours of daylight, and that's when the squirrels are really going to be moving. And then you'll have one guy that just as soon as he gets drawed out, their little group will go out, and they've got 600 points before you even leave the show up. Yeah. You know, you've got skunked, and you ain't even left yet.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Yeah, I've seen how.
Yeah. So do y'all have to agree on that? Y'all have to agree on that timeout and agree on the start time. And like, what if you're like, my dog's great AM, let's go early. I feel real good about that. And he's like, no, 10 AM. That's when I'm going out. You know?
Yeah. You know, like I said, it's a gentleman's game. Everybody, yeah. You know, you want to work together with everybody. And you know, if I say, hey, Marty, I really think that I want to go early, and Marty's like, oh man, we do a lot better later. You know, y'all can compromise. You can go out there a little early, and like you said, if things ain't going the way that everybody thinks it's going, call a timeout and wait it out just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's you know, everybody wants to work together. We want to see each other's dogs do good. I mean, you know, and that's what Marty's always told me, you know, I want to see your dog do good. I mean, I want mine to do better, of course, but I want to see your dog do good, too.
Yeah.
I don't want your dog to not do good.
Mm-hmm.
And, too, you know, if we're here in Tennessee, we're up on Prince Cooper hunting. I know what time I need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I'm in South Mississippi, you know, you might want to talk to some of those. If you got one of those guys in your cast and he said, we need to wait a while, you know, you might want to wait.
Take advice, yeah.
Take advice, you know. It's playing the game. That's all it is.
If they ain't in your cast, though, don't take their advice. They're telling you wrong. They might tell you go left at that spot. You're supposed to go right, and you messed up.
Well, time is running out. We're going to need to get down here. Let me ask a few more questions. We missed this in the first show, but a cur and a feist. Y'all are running feist. What's the difference in a cur dog and a feist dog?
Well, I used to be put on this spot, but
well, put Lauren on the spot.
Yeah, Lauren can take this one.
Well, a cur is just a bigger style dog, and it's more like a hound, I mean, in ways. But a lot of the Feist has got curs in them. If you go far enough in their background, they'll have curs in them too. Just bred on down the size, you know.
Okay.
You just broke a bunch of hearts just then.
Yeah. I'm going to tell the truth.
Well, a lot of times a cur dog is, you know, a lot of times in a tougher situation, you need that nose. Well, they'll work at ground or something. Mm. And a lot of your Feist dogs are more of a hot-nosed, you know, go through the woods, head and air type.
I got you.
You know, it's just different styles. And, you know, these days, a cur dog is the type of dog you want. But then there are days the Feist is what you want. But we can only hunt the Feist dogs, you know, like in this organization. So that's what we all do. But like Lauren says, he's exactly right. If you go back far enough in anybody's papers, you can find a cur dog throwed in every now and again.
Find a little bit of that in the breed.
Yeah. Or vice versa. You can go back to some of those curs and see a Feist throwed in too. They don't hear that either. But
yeah, the simple answer is they're both mixed breed dogs. You know, I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Well, and we had mentioned this before, but I mean that, I guess it's becoming more of a, what's the word for in breeding? I mean, it's becoming more of a staple or more of a definitely a breed of, you know, Feist is a breed, you know, where it used to be more of a crossover, I guess.
Yeah. I never thought it really mattered whenever I first got into this was bloodline. I just thought you grab a dog, you throw it in the woods, he's going to do some work for you.
Right, I never
realized that the bloodline means a lot. You know, these breeders, people like Marty, people like Lauren, they're putting these dogs together, trying their best to breed specific characteristics out of these dogs that they want and that they think are going to produce well, like Marty said, produce well, and do exactly what they expect in the woods. If they don't do what they expect in the woods, they may not make the cut.
It's in the genetics.
Yeah,
they can say what they want to, you know. And you can't just take two top-notch dogs and get a top-notch dog either. There's more to it than that when you go to breaking it down.
Yeah.
And you got some people, you know, they just know how to work the genetics and stuff and get it done. But just because you got a champion and I got a champion don't mean we can raise champions. You know, that's...
All right, yeah. Well, and I also had Mark down here, the farm dog. You'd mentioned that breed, or the Feist, was originally a farm dog or kind of a farm dog. You know, it's all around good dog for a lot of different things.
Back in the day, that's what people used them a lot for. They hunted them, but, you know, they used them on the farm and everything. They're smart dogs, but, you know, they was a family dog too.
Yeah.
And they still are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They still are. That's what I, you know, we all know that I've had suffered a tremendous loss in my family.
Yeah.
But that little dog, Copper, he was a family dog. I mean, he's like losing one of my kids. And that's the way we all feel. You feel that way about Ron, right?
Yep.
I mean, he was a family dog to you. And I'm sure, Marty, you've had them dogs too. Yep. And I don't know which one is your family dog right now, but, you know, they're close to your heart because you spend so much time in the woods with them.
My daughter, she picked Ron out as a puppy. And he's mine and her dog.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he just won reserve world champion
two weeks ago.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, I think this is something that you can share with the family too. It's good for the, you know, kids to get out there and do it with you. And
my little girl, she went to Georgia, she went to LBL, and she went to Tennessee hunt too this year with me.
Yeah.
Then last week she hunted in Alabama. She done it all herself.
That's awesome.
We all travel with our family.
Yeah, all of our kids is hunting with us now.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I appreciate the insight today and learning more about this. And I've learned a lot. I mean, there's a lot to it.
There is a lot to it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. Yeah, thanks for doing this. And remember to go check out their website, xkennels.com. Is that right?
xfirekennels.com.
So go check that out. And thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.